Turn in your New Testaments to Acts, the 17th chapter. While you're turning there, we're going to be in cahoots with the great Apostle Paul here for a few minutes. Actually, you could turn back to chapter 9, where we first, chapter 7 is where we first hear about him, but he was converted in chapter 9. In chapter 7, we read about him sitting at the feet of those who were stoning Stephen, and they laid their coats at his feet. Then we read about his great persecution. Saul was a terrorist. What if he were in Bloomington and he was looking for you? Anything Church of Christ on it? And he had a whole lot of men out scouting, hunting, and looking. Would we have showed up tonight? Knowing that he was going to kill us or haul us off to Jerusalem to be tried and then be put to death? That's what he was like. But he learned better, didn't he? People, when I ask him to come to church, they'll say, "Oh, the building would fall in on me." I said, "Have you killed anybody? You persecuted anybody?" No, Saul did. He became the Apostle Paul, didn't he? And I don't know if I would have picked him as one of the people to be one of my children had I been the Lord. Oh, he'd be the last one, wouldn't he? Look what he's doing. But he had drive, didn't he? He said, "I lived in all good conscience," chapter 23 and verse 1, "before God unto this day." He thought what he was doing was right. But when he learned the truth, then he changed. A lot of people won't do that, will they? They'll hear it and know what you're saying is the truth, but the next word that comes out of their mouth is "but." But I've always taught, but my church, but my parents, and if you're right, then that means all those people are wrong. Did you know if everybody I knew didn't make it to heaven, would they want me to come where they are? "Oh, Mo, please come on down here with..." No. Remember the rich man, the book of Luke? What did he pray for? He was wanting to do some personal work in hell, wasn't he? Send Lazarus, that he may dip his finger for one thing, and then tell him, send him back and tell my brothers. Would his brothers have believed him? I want to tell you where your brother is now. Yeah, you were that guy by the gate, remember, all full of sores. And you're telling me where my brother is, who lived sumptuously, fared sumptuously every day, and you're telling me, yeah. No, they wouldn't believe him. Remember what Abraham said? They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. We have the words of the Lord today and the apostles, the prophets of the New Testament. People need to hear that and need to obey it. And we can't help it if they don't. But here we read about one great man who made the change, and right after he obeyed the gospel, he got in trouble for preaching the gospel, and people wanted to kill him. There were some 40 men later on in his career that said, "We'll not eat or drink until we kill this man." Well, they, I don't know if they stuck to their vow or not, but if they did, they died, didn't they? And so Paul was chased all over the country, and we'll find that out even tonight. Chapter 9, he was converted, and you know that he wasn't converted on the road to Damascus, don't you? He was told to go into the city, and there it will be told thee what thou must do. And you explain that to people today? No, he was saved right there on the road. Well, he didn't know it, did he? God didn't know it. The Holy Spirit didn't know it. Because they sent Ananias there, didn't they? And he didn't want to go. He said, "Are we talking about the same man that's persecuting Christians?" I wouldn't either. And that's why the church at Jerusalem, verse 26, as he essayed to join the church at Jerusalem, they didn't want him. He comes trumping in here tonight and said, "Yeah, I want to be part of this church. You want to get our names and addresses and then kill us." They didn't want him. But Barnabas stuck up for him. And we first read about these two, it's Barnabas and Saul, isn't it? Barnabas and Saul, Barnabas and Saul. And later on, it's Saul and Barnabas makes the change. We meet a lot of good people, as you read about. Chapters 10 and 11 are about the conversion of Cornelius. In chapter 12, we don't hear of Barnabas and Saul till the very end. Verse 25, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John Mark, whose surname was Mark. And you know about the trouble they had about that, don't you? John Mark stayed at home, and Paul got a little upset, and so he and Barnabas separated, so it became Paul and Silas. Then we hear of preaching in chapter 13 and chapter 14, and the trouble that they get into as they go into the synagogues. It'd be like you going into a Baptist church today, try to start preaching and teaching. You ought to try it. It's a real thrill. Brother Vernon Teagle preaches over in Ohio now. He and I got thrown out. That's my Kentucky upbringing, ain't it? Of two or three Baptist churches. And nothing has changed. People who don't want the truth, don't want to hear the truth, no matter what, no matter how much you show them, they're going to stay with their error. In chapter 16, we learn about young Timothy, whose mother and grandmother, Eunice and Lois. How I remember that, Lois is the oldest, so it kind of oldest, Lois, okay, if that'll help you remember that. Put a memory hook on that. And so we read about that young man. Then we can read the two letters that Paul wrote to him, can't we? Then we read about Lydia, the seller of purple, in two verses she's converted. You know, Craig and I were talking about one of the things that just show the Bible is inspired is its brevity. I'd have written 5 or 9 chapters on this conversion, but just a couple of verses. Then later on in this chapter, the Philippian jailer. Remember what he almost did to himself? And you would have too, because you're going to die tomorrow anyway, because if your prisoners escape. And so he was going to, one old boy said he's going to slit his throat. He's going to kill himself. And Paul said, don't do it. He was trembling. He was going to die one way or t'other. And Paul said, don't do it. And everybody knows that he was saved by faith right there. And that's what a lot of people believe, isn't it? Isn't that something? And you show them the whole context, still won't believe it. Won't believe what Jesus said in Mark 16, what Peter said in Acts chapter 2, what Paul was told in that, what he said Ananias told him in 22 and verse 16, and on we could go. People misrepresenting the word of God. But again, Galatians chapter 1, 8 and 9, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than what we have preached, then be accursed. So we leave Philippi and come, as we quickly journey through here. Verse 1 says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia and came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews, they left Philippi. And the little journey there from Philippi to Amphipolis was 33 miles. You know any place that's 33 miles from here? Want to walk to it and go preach? Well, they went to Amphipolis from Philippi. Then they went from Amphipolis to Apollonia, which was another 30-mile hike. That's something. And then from Apollonia to Thessalonica. And I've often wondered, why didn't they stop at Amphipolis and Apollonia? The end of the chapter, the end of the verse tells you. Where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Paul went where they were. They're not coming here today, are they? You can hand out, knock on doors, talk to people, beg. I'll come and get you. I'll pick you. I'll take you home. I'll do whatever. But they won't come. So we have to go where they are. Sometimes if you see having a revival, and they don't have those much anymore, do they? Too many people, the time's taken up. They don't have time to have a revival. Somebody looked up the word revival, which meant raised from the dead. So even we changed them to gospel meetings. So they came all the way from Philippi down to Thessalonica because there was a synagogue of the Jews. Verse 2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. You know, we used to have, some of us old enough to remember, have 3 Sunday meetings. Begin on a Sunday, go to the next Sunday, then end the next Sunday, three Sunday meetings. And sometimes, I have read several times, where if the meeting was going well and there were still people being baptized, they'd continue a week or three. And sometimes they'd have to get another preacher because they'd overfed the first one and his clothes didn't fit anymore, like y'all doing to me. Whew. It's a nasty job, Al. So he reasoned with them, argued with them, talked with them about the scriptures for three Sabbath days. And what did he do, verse 3? The King James says, opening and alleging. Opening and alleging. Well, you've opened your Bible. What did that do for you? Well, actually, these words mean proving and explaining. I think one of the versions tells us that. He proved and explained. And when you prove something, aren't you glad to have proof? Well, or rather than saying, well, that's just what we always do. No, that's what I've always been taught. You can take your index finger and this Word of God right here, and you can turn to it and say, this is why we do what we're doing. Why don't you all have instrumental music? Can you turn to it? The Bible says S-I-N-G. Is that over anybody's head? Do we say, well, we've just always done it that way? We can go there, can't we? Book, chapter, and verse. One Baptist preacher tells us, he said, you Church of Christ people are too persnickety. We don't hear that word too much anymore, do we? He said, you've got to have Bible for everything you believe, teach, and practice. Like that was a cut. That's a compliment, isn't it? And would you rather have a preacher come up here and say, well, I don't know why we do this. We just do it. We've always done it since I was a boy. No, we come with our Bibles, don't we? Come with our sword, ready to go to work. Opening and alleging, proving and explaining what? That Christ, the Messiah, must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus I preach unto you is the Messiah. He is the Christ. But you know, the Jews, they wanted a Saul, David, and Solomon, didn't they? King. They wanted to put their thumb on top of the Roman rule because Rome was ruling them, and they were waiting for their Messiah to come and do what Saul, David, and Solomon did. Jesus said to Pilate, John 18, verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. And people today and all through history have said, oh, yes, it is, Lord. You may think it's not, but yes, it is. When you come back, you're going to set up a kingdom just like Saul, David, and Solomon. Did you know there are people who've already got their name in to be mayor of Chicago, mayor of New York, when the Lord comes again? Like James and John, who wanted one on his left hand, one on his right. I get notes mixed up. Yeah, Craig. And people today, they want to be higher up in the kingdom. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, you want to be great in this kingdom, what do? You humble yourself, don't you? You don't look to see how high I can get in the ranks. You do things that nobody else does. So he proved to them through their own scriptures. And you know what church was started there? First and second what? Thessalonians was written. Good church. Did they have some problems? Sure they did. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. No, our Messiah is not going to suffer, they said. No king comes and rises and then you kill him. He's dead. And they thought they'd ended it all, didn't they? Verse 4, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. And when the Bible says not a few, it means a whole bunch. Okay? So he made inroads. He made enemy, and he made inroads into the camp, these non-believers. And some began to go with him and believe, because you know what? They were honest and good-hearted. Luke 8 and verse 15. And that's the kind of individuals we want. Don't try to back somebody into the church. Somebody take the name Church of Christ off the sign. They don't like that. Just put the church or Christians meet here. Don't put, oh, that Church of Christ just ruins it. You tell them later, though, that this is the Church of Christ. When do you tell them? And if you did that to me, I'd say, bye-bye, you lied to me. So a great multitude of people came with Paul. Verse 5, you're going to have success. When you're talking to people, you may convert somebody out of a denomination, and they'll say, there's more people back there where I used to go to church, and I know I can go in there and get them. They may be disappointed. I knew for sure they would come, but they don't. You're not going to baptize everybody, are you? We used to have the Jewel Miller film strips, 5 film strips. Boy, after they see those film strips, boy, they're bound to. No, everybody didn't obey the gospel. No. And everybody, when Jesus taught, did they? Remember in John 6, he asked the disciples, will you also go away? Remember what Peter said? Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Still true, isn't it? Sure is. But the negative hits in verse 5. The contrast, but the Jews which believe not, moved with envy. They're going to say things about you. They'll say things about this congregation that are not so, because they can't tell the truth. Truth does not have to lie about the enemy, does it? Error looks bad all by itself. But to destroy the truth, you have to lie about it, and that's what they do. One preacher, friend's church preacher in Salem, Ohio, said the Church of Christ, they don't believe in music. They don't have radios in their cars. They don't have radios in their homes. Their women do not wear rings or jewelry. Boy, we were studying with, he said, I knew better than that. That was a lie, wasn't it? Sure, but to convince his people that we were bad, they have to lie about it. But the truth, people can't stand that laser beam light of the gospel if they're not honest, are they? But the Jews which believe not, moved with envy, look what they did, took unto themselves certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. That is Paul and Silas. But they didn't find him. And they weren't going to take him to King's Island either. No, they wanted to stop their mouths because multitudes were going after, and their pride was hurt, and they were filled with envy, 5 said. They were moved with envy, and they got the rabble of the town to stir up against the church. 6, and when they had found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. That again was a compliment. We need to be world turners, don't we? Sometimes we begin to get so politically correct, we're afraid to hurt somebody's feelings. Well, they won't like it if I tell them. And Jesus couldn't help it, could he? He couldn't help it if people turned away. The disciples in Matthew chapter 15, about verse 12, they came to Jesus after he had said, in vain you do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And the apostles came and said, don't you know you've offended these people? And Jesus said, oh, you run back there and tell them I didn't mean it? No. No. He said, you leave them alone. Said, the blind lead the blind, they both shall fall into the ditch. We want honest people, good-hearted people, this heart up here in your head. So they assaulted the house of Jason and brought them before the rulers and said, they've come here too, verse 7, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, there is another king, one Jesus. Well, they were partially right, weren't they? They didn't know what they were talking about. Jesus, is he king? He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But again, John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. I'm not looking to take over Caesar's reign. No. His reign is over our hearts. That's the territory over which he rules. And by the way, would you have been Jason and have kept Paul? If the preacher for the gospel meeting had just gotten out of jail for preaching the gospel, and everybody's looking for him and hating him, following him wherever he goes, would you want to keep him? Or let's put him up in the Holiday Inn. Keep us out of trouble. And they troubled, verse 8, the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security or bond of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Okay, let's say you're with Paul. And you've just left Thessalonica where they were hunting you down. And the next city that to which you go, 60 miles away, where's the first place he goes? I might have said, Paul, excuse me. You remember a few days ago where we were and what happened when we went? And remember, did you, was short-term memory gone? That wouldn't have stopped him, would it? Paul and Silas went right where they were in Berea. Population of about 18,000 to 20,000 people. And they went into the synagogue. But he said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. How often? Weekly, monthly, yearly, daily. Daily. You find somebody when you're studying with them, they go home and they search the scriptures. I think I mentioned Sunday that some have gone home and they call their pastor, their preacher, or their priest and say, help. I need help with this guy. He's given me passages of scripture and I don't know how to answer them. And several times our pastor saying, well, it doesn't matter. Well, one fellow, Max Dawson, who now preaches in near Houston area in Texas, was converted in the plant of GM in Indianapolis. And he said Jerry Hall was a member of the church and was teaching him. And he said, I saw Jerry coming way down the aisle. He said, I duck into an office just to escape him because I didn't have answers. I knew when Jerry saw me, he'd say, do you get an answer to the question? Pride was getting in the way. But finally, he obeyed the gospel. And for about 40 years now or more, he's been preaching the gospel. So you get somebody like these noble Bereans who search the scriptures daily, whether the things they're being taught are so. Here's what will happen to them. Verse 12. Therefore. You know, you don't begin a conversation with therefore. You don't walk up, therefore. You missed something, didn't you? No. Because of what he said in verse 11, because they searched the scriptures daily, therefore many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. It was women not a few in verse 4. What did verse 5 begin with? One word. But. What's verse 13 begin with? You start making inroads, you start making headlines, you start taking people away. Verse 13, but when the Jews of Thessalonica, 60 miles away, jumped in their Cadillacs and drove. Nope. When the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. So let me just tell you this. We need to live such lives that they have no ammunition against us. By our manner of life, as we talked about last night, our conversation, the King James says, you so live before men that they can't say, ah, but I saw him, I know what he does. No, they won't have any ammunition to throw against you. It'll all have to be lies. So when they heard of it at Thessalonica, they came straight to Berea. and stirred up the people. Verse 14, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. McGarvey says in his commentary, I believe it was him, he said, as it were to the sea, may have been an attempt to fake them out, to make them think he was going by the sea when he was going to take another route because they were hunting him to kill him. The Pharisees, who were they? They were religious sects of the Jews, weren't they? Religious people, much like Catholicism. You read about in the Dark Ages what they did, who they murdered, anybody that got in their way. And so they were after Paul. They sent him away from Berea. Verse 15, and they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens. They were his bodyguards, about 200 miles away. And receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed, they departed. It's hard being alone, isn't it? Notice what he did in verse 16. While he waited. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, he got him a room at the Holiday Inn and waited and waited. Is that what he did? No. While he waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. We see our cities wholly given to denominationalism, don't we? If you drove very far, you passed several denominations. You know this area better than I, but we passed several just right on the street. The Living Water, I've forgotten the names of some of them. Some I'd never heard of before. So Paul, by himself, in a town of about 10,000 people, and scholars tell us there were 30,000 gods in the city. They had a god for everything. God of the wind, God of the rain, God of the sun, God of the moon, God of the stars, God of the birds. Is that about 6, 7? 30,000? Can you name the others? Me neither. Wholly given to idolatry. Verse 17, therefore, because of that, therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and in the market daily with them that met with him. You rub shoulders with Paul, guess what you're going to be talking about? A friend of mine told me about 40 years ago, he said, you're talking to somebody, if you can't change the subject from sports or the weather to the gospel, you ain't trying. If you can't do it within a few minutes, don't worry about it. You know what? I've never had anybody say, you mention another word to me about that, I'll punch you right in the mouth. They begin backing away. Don't back away. Don't be afraid to ask somebody. And that's what will fill these pews. When you show them the simple gospel, what caused you to obey the gospel? It was over your head and while everybody else was doing it? Well, you found out you were lost and you needed salvation. That's what Paul was doing. He was going and preaching as the Lord told him to. And that's what we need to do as well. Wholly given to idolatry. So therefore they disputed with the Jews that followed him everywhere and with the Gentiles. Then verse 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics. You can look that and study those groups of people. They were opposite ends of the spectrum. The Epicureans were the playboy people of the day. And the Stoics were just the opposite. Free from passion and pain and all of that. The Stoic, and that's where we get our word when we call somebody that was a Stoic. And some said, what will this babbler say? Is that a compliment? No. What will this babbler? He just babbles on and on. Not a compliment. What will this babbler say? Other some, he seemeth to be a Seth of strange gods because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. What they never heard of that before, resurrection. They didn't believe in that. So he's got some new doctrine. And they took him, verse 19, and brought him under the Areopagus, the courthouse, we might say. May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is, for thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For, 21, all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. I think maybe your version say you're very religious. And they were, weren't they? Very religious. For as I passed by your devotions, your idols, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Of all these gods, they had to name one in case they missed it. In case they missed one, they didn't want to make him mad. So they made a statue in honor to this unknown God. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. They didn't know about the real God, did they? They were missing one, weren't they? God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Can't you see him expressing himself with his hands? He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands like your gods do. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as your gods are, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And made of one all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the things before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. They had a God for every little thing. And this God takes care of everything. That's the God he said, I want to tell you about. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, and though he be not far from every one of us. For in or by him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. Was he talking plainly to them? Was he condemning their gods? This God isn't made out of stone or silver or gold, graven and designed by the hands of men. And he says, the times of this ignorance God winked at. He allowed things, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Does that include us today? Yes, it does. It included them. You're going to have to change. You're going to have to come away from your idolatrous worship. And let me tell you this. Whenever you have idol worship, you have another eye that follows it. And that is immorality. Not sometime, not part of the time, but all of the time. Let me just reference it like this. Let's say we take this piece of wood, like the prophet said in the Old Testament. Said you cut down a tree, you cook your food with part of the tree, and with the rest of the tree, you make it into a god. You paint it and powder it up, put jewels and gold and silver all over it, and you bow before it. Well, what can't this God do? David said in Psalm 115, I think. He said, they have eyes but can't see, tongues but can't talk, feet but can't walk, hands but, and so on. And he said, those that make them are like the idols. One commentator said, they're stupid. Those who worship the idols are as dumb as the idol. Let's say we do that. So we paint this little piece of wood up, and we put jewels across it, and we put lights up here and shine on it, and then when we come in, oh, there it is. It's so pretty. It's our God. When's it going to tell us to do something? Who wants to volunteer to sit here and wait? We'll bring you food. You're going to have a long wait, aren't you? Okay, okay, we've established that this thing, this piece of wood, our God, is not going to talk to us. So who's going to make the rules? I'm going to make the rules. And by the way, girls, ladies, women, you don't have a say. Okay. Men, we're the rule makers. That's the way it is. And you're out. What kind of rules are men going to make? I said, idolatry comes with another I. Immorality. We're going to make fun rules, aren't we? Aren't we? If this is our God, we don't know anything about this unknown God. We're going to make fun rules. Read about Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Great is Diana. For 2 hours they yelled it. Acts 19. They're going to lose money. The idol makers are going to lose their fame and their fortunes. He said, we must repent. But many won't do that. Why? Verse 30 tells us. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead. You know why we know there's a resurrection? Because Christ proves it, doesn't he? He was the vanguard. He was the leader. Craig and I are talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Just read that. Some still don't believe it's in the resurrection. But you have to help, have help from a false teacher to not see it in 1 Corinthians 15. Commands us all to repent because he has appointed a day and a man. It's all set. Remember Matthew 24, verse 35? No man knows. The angels don't know. No man knows, but the Father only. So we must all repent, or we will bow before that man on his throne and confess on our knees with our mouth that which we denied all of our lives. He's appointed a day and an hour. Verse 32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. I've been preaching and had some people from denominations in the audience. And just so happens they sat on the back row, about 7 or 8 of them. And all of them in unison. I wish I'd have had a camera. They were all going, letting me know. I thought, boy, when this is over, we're going to have a little sit down. They marched out like little church mice. Didn't say a word, didn't agree, but didn't ask a question. What did you mean by that? I can show you where. No, they couldn't do it. They could shake their heads, but that's all they could do. Some mocked. We have some mocking today, don't we? One lady said, you people believe you got to get dunked. What is that but mocking? And it's still going on, isn't it? Some mocked of the resurrection of the dead. Others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. Among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Yeah, you won't convert them all. But you see what Paul did, and you see what Jesus did. And they're pretty good examples to follow, aren't they? Let's have a little holy boldness, okay? Let's pray more for the courage, the faith, when we have an opportunity to speak to them, our friends, our neighbors, people with whom we come in contact. As we mentioned the other day, even the waitress at a restaurant. Craig left an announcement of the meeting and a whole lot more at the restaurant today. Do that. Take those tracks out. Thinking you know somebody that might use it. Oh, they'll just throw it away. You don't know that. Don't become judge, jury, and executioner. Give them an opportunity. Okay? Give them an opportunity. Paul went to the synagogues, as his custom was, and you can read that earlier in the book of Acts. And let's go like they did, and we'll grow like they did. Okay? Wouldn't it be awful? So I don't know where we're going to put people. They're going to have to sit down the hall. Wouldn't that be a good problem to have? Yes, it would. You got a big enough parking lot, haven't you? Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to have to build on. We're going to have to do something. Oh, isn't that awful to do that? No, that'd be good, wouldn't it? That'd be encouraging. We have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Let's let others hear it. One by one. One by one. And they will come. If you're here tonight and you need to respond to that same invitation that Peter gave to those thousands of Jews on the day of Pentecost, did some come? There weren't just 3,000 Jews in the city of Jerusalem that day, but 3,000 did obey that day. And if we do what they did, we'll have the results that they did. Let's go and let's grow, okay? I've forgotten, we heard the just last week how many churches of Christ, 800 and some, closed their doors last year. Little places. They got old and they died. They went away. Don't let that happen here. Make sure that the next generation has a place that they can come to the house of God and worship Him. But be a part of it if you're not, by being baptized just like the Lord commands, and then live faithfully all the days of your life so that heaven can be your home. If you need to respond, let it be right now. Eric, while we stand, while we sing. To Christ.